not by power. When I was seeking the Lord for revival in Argentina, there came the day when the Spirit spoke to me and said, "What you want me to do is to come down into your world and manifest myself and my power to the people. But what I want to do is to bring you up into my world and do what I want with you." I had thought that if I could persuade God to come and manifest his gifts of power, that would bring revival. Then Argentina could not deny the truths of the gospel. However, God revealed to me that before revival came, the gifts of power were not the highest priorities in his list. Being rightly related to Christ was far more important to him than spectacular gifts of power. In the early days of the revival, two young ladies went on the street to share the blessing they had received. They were invited into a house and shared the customary tea. Half an hour later, the lady of the house excused herself and said, "Excuse me, I've got to go tend to my mother." "Well, where is your mother?" they asked. "She is ill and in bed," the lady answered. "Oh, we will pray for her," said the visitors, who had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. So they prayed for her, and God graciously healed the elderly woman. Immediately she rose from her bed and served them more tea. Then they discovered that she had been in bed 5 years, paralyzed and could not walk. God had healed her. That woman came out of her bed after lying there 5 years paralyzed. Yet she nor her family ever showed up at the church that was but 3 blocks distance. A man and his wife went to a neighbor's home and found a man in a coma. The doctors had left saying that the man would not live past 8 o'clock that night. He was 65 years of age, a habitual drunkard, and alcohol had destroyed his liver. "Oh," said the visitors, "we will pray for him." They did. And God healed him, converted him, and healed his crooked leg also. He later hung his crutch up in the church. All the family were by his bedside, waiting for him to die. They saw the power of God heal him instantly. They saw him get up and walk without a limp. Yet not one of that family ever accompanied him to church and never even asked anything about the things of God. As wonderful and as precious as the gifts of power are, they are not the true answer to this world's problems. I saw thousands in a certain town healed. 4 months later, we took a survey going from house to house and found that 80% testified to have been healed. However, less than 100 people ever showed their faces in church. Sometimes a man would come to church. I would greet him and recognize him. "Haven't I seen you before?" I asked. "Oh, yeah, Pastor." "Didn't I see you in the campaign in the boxing arena?" "Oh, yeah, Pastor." "Well, how are you now?" I asked. "Oh, I am fine." "Did the Lord heal you?" I further queried. "He sure did." "Well, I haven't been seeing you in church. What are you here now for?" "Well, you see, I am sick again." Free medicine was all it meant to them. Wonderful gifts of grace and love from the treasury of God, but their hearts were far from being open to the love of God for their own lives. When Laban saw, not the miracles, but when he saw the earring of betrothal, the bracelets of apprehension, and the awakened love reflected in the face of Rebekah, he immediately ran out to meet that man. Laban thought, "I want him in my house. If he can do that for Rebecca, I want him to lodge in my house." The earring and bracelets and what they signified convinced Laban of the desirability of inviting Eliezer to stay in his house. The Holy Spirit ever seeks to bring the bridal candidate to accept the bracelets and be willingly apprehended by God. He would put the earring of betrothal in the ear and the bracelets of apprehension on the wrist. Then her heart will say, "I have no choices. I have no alternatives. I must only do what the Holy Spirit commands." "Paul, why did you go to Jerusalem? You knew what would happen. The prophets told you truly what was going to take place there." "What? Know you not?" Paul replies. "I am apprehended by Christ, and the love of God constrains me. I have to go. Don't try to stop me. I have no choices." "But Paul, why do you live your life this way? Look at yourself. You have been beaten 5 times, 3 times almost to the point of death. You've been shipwrecked, stoned, incarcerated, rejected, and maligned. Yet you get right up and go on just the same." "Don't you realize, my friend, I am apprehended and wear the golden bracelets love put on me? It doesn't make any difference what happens to me. What they do or what they say, it doesn't make any difference about my goods, if I have them or lose them. I and all that I have are no longer mine, for I am Christ, and my body is a living sacrifice in his service." When a man is arrested and taken away to jail, can his beautiful home and children and wife change his sentence? Can the ways of his former life or his loved possession change his place of abode or in any way influence his actions? All things of his former existence are no longer taken into account. They are forgotten. He wears the bracelets. He has been arrested. He is a prisoner. When one is betrothed and a candidate for brideship, she will be taken to that place where she joyfully says, "He is mine and I am his." She will wear the same bonds that she will wear when she stands before God and takes her vows. She does not then turn around a year later and get a divorce and break every vow she made. God does not break vows. What is sealed in heaven is still sealed in heaven, whether she likes it or not. When a young lady becomes engaged, she puts on her engagement ring and usually holds her hand so everybody can see it. She does not hide that precious gift. And if you don't see it, she will move it so it will flash a little bit to be sure it gets the attention that is desired. She wants people to know that she is committed and has already made her choice. She is no longer free to play the field. She has settled it in her heart and in her life. She is declaring that this is the way I am going. That is a message the ring declares to one and all when a young woman wears it. That, in part, is the purpose for which the ring is worn. Eliezer chose, first of all, to put the ring and the bracelets on the bride. He wanted to seal the one he chose before proceeding any farther in the task commanded him by Abraham. However, he could not seal Rebekah for Isaac until she had finished watering the thirsty camels. Only when a bridal candidate is prepared, ready and willing to water the camels, bring them home and feed them and then ride them, is she ready to receive the ring and the bracelet. If you want to receive the gifts of the Spirit, then seek the first ones first. The ring and the bracelet are the most important gifts. They are number one on the list of priorities of Eliezer. When the Holy Spirit gives those gifts, they will truly be gifts of wonder and beauty that will deeply impress all who behold them, even the members of the bride's own household.